Hello, Radio Land. This is Bishop J.J. Reed coming to you live from the Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries in Bay St. Louis and Picayune, Mississippi. One church in two locations. And we're so glad that you've tuned in today to hear the word of the Lord. You know, as Jesus was attacked by the devil in St. Matthew chapter number 4, he made the statement, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord." That tells us that we don't live by our natural food by itself, but we live by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord. In Jeremiah chapter number 3, God also speaks and says, "I'm going to take one out of a city and two out of a family, and I'm going to lead them to Zion," that is the church, "and I'm going to give them pastors according to my own heart that's going to feed them with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding." So today, I'm so glad again that you've tuned in, and we're going to take you into the word of the Lord, and we're going to feed you as the heritage of the Lord, that you might grow up, grow out, and that your branches might extend over the walls. And we want to welcome you, amen, today to the house of God. I want to welcome you into this service. Amen. It is a good thing to be here in the presence of the Lord. You know, I rattled on and on about the house of God this morning. You know, isn't it a wonderful thing that God would allow us to come back into his house? Amen. Now, when I say his house, you know, his environment, we talked about this morning how David, you know, David was of the tribe of Judah, you know, which was, the tribe that even Jesus came out of himself. And the scripture tells us that Jacob, you know, when he was leaning on his staff, that he blessed his sons. And one of the blessings that he said over Judah is that kings are going to come out of your loins. So Judah is a kingly tribe. Everybody say that with me. Judah is a kingly tribe. Can I take time just to teach just a little bit this morning? And being a kingly tribe, you know, the Bible starts off in chapter 37 of Genesis, and it starts with Joseph. It starts telling you about the story of Joseph, how he had dreams and how his brother envied him because of his dreams, and they couldn't even speak peaceably unto him, how he was sold into slavery. And then we're thinking that it's going to go into chapter 38 and continue the story, but all of a sudden it does a switch on us. It goes into the life of Judah. And it says Judah married a woman, and she had three sons for Judah, you know, and God killed two of them. And the Jews had a custom that if they were brothers, and just say for instance, where is Ezra and Israel and Trey. Well, just say for instance, Trey, you know, he the oldest son. Just say if he married a woman. Now, if we were living in that day, here was the custom. If Trey married a woman and, you know, for some unforeseen reason, Trey died. Then because Israel and Ezra are twins, one of them had to marry Trey's wife because Trey didn't have no children by her. Are you hearing me? And now what happened is that, okay, Trey didn't have no children, and then say Israel is back. Israel married, and Israel said, "Well, I don't want to have no children for her, for Trey." Because see, they weren't going to be his children. He was raising up children for Trey. Well, you know, well, God mad at Israel, and he killed Israel too. Now all we have is Ezra left, all right? And, you know, Judah says, "Well, just let Ezra get a little older, you know." And then he tells, you know, the wife that we'll give you to Ezra once he get a little older. Well, then the Bible says in the process of time, what happens is that Judah's wife dies. You with me? Judah's wife dies. And it says, you know, he's grieving. He goes through a grieving period. And then, you know, after his grieving period, what happens is that he goes out to check on his flock. Now, the wife of Trey in Israel sees that, you know, Judah ain't giving me Ezra fast enough. And what she do, she get in the pathway of where Judah is going. And she disguises herself. She fixes herself up as a harlot. And, you know, Judah sees her and he says, "Can I come into you?" you know, that meaning, can I have, you know, intercourse with you? And she says, well, what you going to give me? Let me say it again. She says, what you going to give me? And he says, well, when I get to my flock, I'll get one of my servants to bring you back one of the sheep. She said, uh-uh. She said, you might forget. She said, but what I want, give me your ring, give me your bracelet, and give me your staff. And Judah did that. And a few months later, somebody comes to Judah and say, Judah, your daughter-in-law has played the harlot. And Judah said, bring her out, because we're going to stone her. We're going to kill her. And the Bible says, you know, that she says, before you kill me, let me show you who I played the harlot with. And she pulls out his ring and his bracelet and his staff. And Judah says, you're more righteous than me. And he walks away. Now, but the thing is, she never gets married. And she's pregnant with twins by Judah. But she don't marry Judah. Now, biblically speaking, when a woman has the child out of wedlock and she's not covered by a husband, that child that comes out is called a bastard. Sounds bad, don't it? And a bastard child is just, you know, it don't have a father. It's like a test tube baby. And when it don't have a father is the thing that gives that child the identity. It gives that child that identity. And when that wife or that woman don't have a father, a husband, then that child don't have an identity. So it's called a bastard child. Now, where am I going with this here? Well, the Bible says in Deuteronomy 23, it says that a bastard, it names several of them. It says that a man who has crushed stones, a man who is flat nosed. Well, one with crushed stone don't want to go to church, no way. and it says a dwarf. And then it says, and a bastard. It says, shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord up unto 10 generations. Did you get that? Up unto 10 generations. Now, some people consider generations as, you know, 20 years. Some people consider generations as 40 years. You know, they consider it a generation, you know, but whatever it is, they couldn't go to church for 10 generations. Just think, if it was 20 years, then that family is put out of church for 200 years. Just think if it's 40 years, they can't go to church for 400 years. Now, some of y'all will be saying, yeah, you know, I do other things on Sunday, you know, but there's a group of people that want to go to church. They can't make it without church. They can't make it without being in the presence of the Lord. Why? The Bible says that Isaiah said this here, in the year that King Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. What? His glory filled the church. And he says, and I say, woe is me, because I'm a man of unclean lips. What did Isaiah recognize? He recognized that when in the church, the glory of God was there. And if I have issues in my life, I can get them healed in the church. If I can just go to church. Come on. David said this here. You remember in Psalms 23, he says, he's prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He anoints my head with oil. Ha, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy is going to follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell where? In the house of the Lord. How long?
Forever.
See, David understood, you know, the importance of being, everybody say, in church. Now, let me tell you why David said so much about church. Because in Psalms 27, verse 1, he says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. He said, whom shall I fear? He said, the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? He said, when the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, they came against me. He says, to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, he said, my heart won't fear. Though war rise against me, he says, in this will I be confident. One thing. Now just think. Just think. Out of all the things that David could desire of the Lord, he says, one thing have I desired of the Lord. And he said, now that desire I'm going to seek after. And what I seek after, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. David says, and one psalm, he says, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house of the Lord. So when somebody came to David and said, David, let's go to church, David got glad. He got happy. He's not like some of us, y'all. And I'm trying to show you something here. We come and ask you to go to church. Well, I got this to do and I got that to do. Well, I worked all day and I'm tired. And, you know, oh, my back hurt. My feet hurt. Oh, my arches are down and my bunions. Oh, you know, we make all kinds of excuses. But David said, when they came to ask me to go to the house of the Lord, he said, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to church. He said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. How admirable are your courts, O God. They that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. I said all that to say this here. It's so good to be in church. It is. It's so good to be in church. Because David said all of that. You know why? Because he was of the tribe of Judah. And for whether it was 200 or whether it was 400 years, the thing is, his generation or all those before him couldn't go to church. Have y'all ever read in the Bible, I think it's around the 21st chapter of the book of 1 Samuel, it says something like this. Saul was running, he was chasing David, trying to kill him, huh? And David ran to Nob. Nob was where the priests were, and it was the center of religious activity. It was where the church was. And David got down there, and the boy was hungry. And he saw one of the priests, he was toting the bread. And David says, what is that? All right, Radio Land, we thank you for tuning into this radio broadcast, and we trust that your soul has been blessed by the word of the Lord. You know, Jacob in Genesis 27, verse 27, was blessing his son, and he said that, may the smell of my son be as the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. And we hope today that through the word of the Lord, that you are going to be as a smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. That means that you're flowering. That means that you're producing. That means that you're going forward. That means that you're influencing and affecting your environment. I also want you to write in, you know, to us at Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries. Our address is 1978 Washington Street, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, or at 800 South Beach Street in Picayune, Mississippi. We also want to give you opportunity to purchase the rest of this sermon, you know, on CD or DVD. You know, you can make your vehicle driving or rolling university, you know, by popping in that CD and finishing up the messages of the Lord. Because again, the word of the Lord says that you're not going to live by bread alone, but you're going to live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord. So you can order these CDs, you can order these DVDs, so you can always have a spoken word. You can always have a rhema word ready. Because, you know, I'm recalling a story in the Old Testament that David was running from Saul, and he ran to the house of God, and in running to the house of God, he asked the priest, he said, what's that under your arm? And the priest said, this is bread, it's holy bread. David said, I have some of that. Then the next thing David asked, do you have any weapons here? And the priest tells him, nothing but the sword of Goliath, who you killed in the valley of Elah. Well, David said, I would have that sword also. So that tells us the reason we, amen, receive a rhema word and go to the house of the Lord is give bread to eat and a weapon to fight with. So God bless you today, and we trust that you've got bread to eat and a weapon to fight with. Hello, Radio Land. This is Bishop J.J. Reed coming to you live from the Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries in Bay St. Louis and Picayune, Mississippi. One church in two locations. And we're so glad that you've tuned in today to hear the word of the Lord. You know, as Jesus was attacked by the devil in St. Matthew chapter number 4, he made the statement, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord." That tells us that we don't live by our natural food by itself, but we live by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord. In Jeremiah chapter number 3, God also speaks and says, "I'm going to take one out of a city and two out of a family, and I'm going to lead them to Zion," that is the church, "and I'm going to give them pastors according to my own heart that's going to feed them with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding." So today, I'm so glad again that you've tuned in, and we're going to take you into the word of the Lord, and we're going to feed you as the heritage of the Lord, that you might grow up, grow out, and that your branches might extend over the walls. And the priest said, "It's bread, but it's not ordinary bread. It's holy bread. It's the bread that the priests eat." David says, "I have that." So you know why David went to church? To get bread to eat. See, sometimes when we don't understand the purpose of why we come to church, then we don't want to come to church. But if you understood why you come to church, "I come to get bread to eat. I come to get some holy bread. I come to get some fresh bread." Did you not realize that Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years? They were disobedient. They were stiff-necked. They were hard-hearted. But God gave them daily bread. God gave them bread every day. He didn't fail to give them fresh bread every day. Meaning, he didn't look at their conditions. He looked beyond their faults and saw their needs. Somebody shout, "Me, Lord." Huh? And our lives, we need God to do the same thing. God gives us daily bread. And that's why David ran to church, because God was going to give him fresh bread. And then after David ate the bread, you know, he asked the priest, he said, "Is there any weapon here?" And the priest said, "There's one weapon here, the sword of Goliath, who you killed in Elon." David said, "I have that." So, you see, there's two reasons why we come to church. We come to get fresh bread. Yeah. And we come to get a weapon to fight with. Yeah. How many know the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, if you don't believe you're in a fight, you better open up your eyes and see. Paul told his son Timothy, "Fight the good fight of faith." We're in a fight every day of our life. Come on. The enemy is trying to cancel out our life, trying to cancel out our identity. And we got to fight. We got to resist. Amen. Sometimes we can almost get there, but God will give us weapons, amen, of warfare to give us the victory over the temptation and over the strategies of the devil. Can you shout amen?
Amen.
So where we get them from? We come to church. So, it's good to be here.
Amen.
It's good to be here. I believe God is going to give you some fresh bread. And I believe God is going to give you a weapon to fight with. Amen. Now, today, we want to talk to your hearts. I was in Omaha, Nebraska on this week ministering in a conference. And while I was studying, you know, we had been talking about city. The Bible says, if you put on the board, Matthew 5, verse 14, Matthew 5, verse 14 in the King James Version. We just deal with it in the King James Version. And hear what it says. Matthew 5, verse 14, it says, "Ye are the light of the world, period." Now, we're going to talk about today a city with a limp. Everybody high five your neighbor and say, "A city with a limp." Now look again what that passage says. Look what it says. Let's read it together. It says, "Ye are the light of the world, period." It says, "Ye are the light of the world, period." Man, he didn't ask you, "Did you want to be it?" He didn't ask you, "Would you consider it?" He didn't ask you, "Well, what condition are you in right now?" He just makes a statement to you, and he says, Ye are the light of the world, period. No doubt about it. Ye are the light of the world, period. Now, Jesus says in St. John 10, verse 10, he says, the thief come but to steal, to kill and to destroy. What is he coming to steal, kill and destroy? Your light. He comes to try to put out your light. He strategizes trying to put out your light. His whole strategy, his whole makeup is canceling out your light. And matter of fact, I think 1 John makes the statement that says that, you know, in him is light and there is no darkness. But the enemy works in darkness. And he strategizes, he tempts us, he does everything that he can to cancel out that statement that just Jesus just said about you. Ye are the light of the world. Everybody say, period.
Period.
Come on, look at your neighbor and say, you're the light of the world.
You're the light of the world.
Period.
Period.
Come on, don't fail to say period to him. Say, you're the light of the world.
You're the light of the world.
Period. See, so you just said to them what God said to them. Because some people say, well, but you don't know what condition I'm in. You don't know what I just went through. You don't know the struggles that I'm having. You're the light of the world. Period. Well, you don't know that I'm broke. You don't know that I'm busted. You don't know that I'm disgusted. You're the light of the world. Period. So the thing is, Felix, you're an electrician. Felix said, oh, Lord. we have a light here, okay? We have a light here. If I was to unscrew that light from that, say that again? Why not? It's not connected to the source. So here is the strategy of the enemy. He comes to disconnect you from the source that makes you light, that makes you shine. And as long as, explain a light bulb to us. I don't understand it. What's in a light bulb? What?
That's enclosed in the base, and it's connected to another end of the socket that's connected to the switch, connected to the power. It's all connected.
So what's in the bulb that makes it shine?
Filaments.
All right. Filaments. But it takes a source to light up the filaments. It takes power. So the enemy, his desire and his design is to unscrew us or to disconnect us from the source. But Jesus says, you're the light of the world, period. Now, whether you're connected to the source or not, you're still the light of the world, period. Now, it's our job and our responsibility to stay screwed in. To stay connected. Because you are the light of the world, period. And some people get around the light and they wonder, why is this thing not working? You know, you handle it. You know, as a matter of fact, I go to the store sometime and I buy a whole pack of them. We got a whole pack of them and I need to put some in our floodlights, don't we? You know, and they're in the pantry rather than being connected. And I pick them up and they ain't working. They ain't doing nothing. They ain't no good in the pantry. They're really not. They are no good in the pantry. They're not serving their purpose in the pantry. But just because they're in the pantry, don't they negate the fact that they're not a light. We just got to get them to their source to be connected. So you're still a light. So Jesus says, again, put it back up there, you're the light of the world, period. And now he's going to make another statement, you know, ratify the statement that he just made. He says, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Now, you're the light of the world, and he says, let me make it plainer to you. Your city set on a hill that cannot be hid. Now put that passage in the message. Look what the message says. Well, here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. Here it is, y'all. We're going public. With this. As public as a city on a hill. Now hear what the word is saying. Whether you connect it or disconnect it, we're going public. What does it mean to go public? Everybody gonna see it. Everybody gonna see it. If you got the victory, everybody gonna see it. They might not see how you got it, but you got it. If you don't got the victory, everybody gonna see it. It don't matter how you don't got it, they're gonna see that you don't got it. But we're going public with this. Why? Because God, what? Is not a secret to be kept. We're going public. Everybody say a city with a limp. Now, hopefully in these last few minutes, I can clarify what I'm saying. Let's go over to Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32. And first class going to have to help me with this second class, all right? Now, in Genesis 32, verse 1, in verse 1 it says, and Jacob went his way, and angels of God met him. Verse 2 says, and when Jacob saw them, he said, oh, God's camp. And he named the place Mahanaim, which means campground. What Jacob was actually saying, everybody say Jacob.
Jacob.
I want you to know that Jacob, the Bible says, just like us, is a city. All right, Radio Land, we thank you for tuning into this radio broadcast, and we trust that your soul has been blessed by the word of the Lord. Jacob in Genesis 27, verse 27, was blessing his son, and he said that, may the smell of my son be as the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. And we hope today that through the word of the Lord, that you are going to be as a smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. That means that you're flowering. That means that you're producing. That means that you're going forth. That means that you're influencing and affecting your environment. I also want you to write in, to us at Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries. Our address is 1978 Washington Street, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, or at 800 South Beach Street in Picayune, Mississippi. We also want to give you opportunity to purchase the rest of this sermon, on CD or DVD. You can make your vehicle driving or rolling university, by popping in that CD and finishing up the messages of the Lord. Because again, the word of the Lord says that you're not going to live by bread alone, but you're going to live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord. So you can order these CDs, you can order these DVDs, so you can always have a spoken word. You can always have a rhema word ready. Because, I'm recalling a story in the Old Testament that David was running from Saul, and he ran to the house of God. And in running to the house of God, he asked the priest, he said, what's that under your arm? And the priest said, this is bread. It's holy bread. David said, I have some of that. Then the next thing David asked, do you have any weapons here? And the priest tells him, nothing but the sword of Goliath, who you killed in the valley of Elah. Well, David said, I would have that sword also. So that tells us the reason we, receive a rhema word and go to the house of the Lord is get bread. bread to eat and a weapon to fight with. So God bless you today, and we trust that you've got bread to eat and a weapon to fight with. Hello, Radio Land. This is Bishop J.J. Reed coming to you live from the Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries in Bay St. Louis and Picayune, Mississippi. One church in two locations. And we're so glad that you've tuned in today to hear the word of the Lord. You know, as Jesus was attacked by the devil in St. Matthew chapter number 4, he made the statement, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord." That tells us that we don't live by our natural food by itself, but we live by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord. In Jeremiah chapter number 3, God also speaks and says, "I'm going to take one out of a city and two out of a family, and I'm going to lead them to Zion," that is the church, "and I'm going to give them pastors according to my own heart that's going to feed them with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding." So today, I'm so glad again that you've tuned in, and we're going to take you into the word of the Lord, and we're going to feed you as the heritage of the Lord, that you might grow up, grow out, and that your branches might extend over the walls. It's like us. Is a city set on a hill, can't be hid. Bible says in St. Matthew 13, verse 39, it says, "And Jesus taught in parables, and without a parable, he didn't say nothing." So you must understand in Matthew 5, verse 14, when he says that we're a city set on a hill that cannot be hid, he's actually using it as a parable. He's comparing you to a parable, something that you understand, because that's what a parable is. It's a story or an illustration that help you understand a spiritual truth or a spiritual lesson. So, you know, Jacob, just like you and I, we are cities. So now let's look at it in this point. It says in this, with this point of view, it says verse 1 again. So Jacob, in parentheses, the city, went his way. And angels of God met him. And in verse 2 it says, "And when Jacob saw them, he said, 'Oh, God's camp.' And he named the place Mahanaim." Then that Psalms make the statement, it says, "The angels of the Lord encamp around about them that fear him." Huh? The angels of the Lord encamp around about them that fear him. So here you see Jacob as a city, and here you see the angels of God camping around about him. And when the angel of God, and if angels camp around Jacob, they camp around Denise, they camp around Tina, they camp around Amade, they camp around Connie, they camp around Georgia, they camp around Jody, they camp around Lee, they camp around all of you, because you are a city set on the hill. And you have the angels of God camping around about you. This is why with Job, listen to Job. The Bible says that the sons of God came together and the devil came with them. And God says, "Have you considered, you know, my city Job, or my servant Job? You know, he perfect, upright, eschewed evil." And the devil says, he only do that because, you know, you got a hedge around him. But if you remove the hedge, what's the hedge? The angels that camp around him. If you let me in, remove the hedge, I'll make him curse you to your face. So everybody say, "I got angels camping around me." Why you think you still here? Why you think you're still in the land of the living? Because God's got his angels camping about around you 24/7. The devil just can't come in and do what he want to do in our lives. The devil just can't come in and destroy. I know he comes to steal and kill and to destroy, but he just can't do that. Because we got angels camping out around us. Come on, cities get bad news, but that don't mean the angels are not camping out around them. That don't mean that God can't turn bad news into good news. God can turn that situation around. God can turn that tithing around. God can turn, amen, that circumstance around. Why? Because you got angels camping out around you. You got another jurisdiction that's surrounding you. Bible says that there was a man in the Bible, amen, that the king sent an army against. And the servant went out on this porch and he looked out and he says, "Oh my God, what are we going to do now? Look at all those armies out there." And the prophet came out, that city. And he says, "Lord, open his eyes that he might see. Yeah. And when the boy's eyes were open, there were chariots on fire. Amen. With horsemen. And he said, there be more for us than be against us. What am I saying? Amen. The enemy might have a plan and a scare tactic, but there's more for us and more around us than that be against us. If God be for us, ask your neighbor, who can be against you? See, because you and God is a majority. And he put angels that are encamping round about you. So the thing is, he puts those angels there that guarantees your success. Guarantees that the strategies of the devil cannot manifest in your life. Guarantee that what God has built in your life, because make no doubt about it, God has built this city. Huh? Point to yourself and say, God has built this city. Huh? But I might have a limp, but God has built this city. Come on, tell your neighbor, make no doubt about it, God is the builder of this city. Bible says Abraham, it says that he sojourned in the earth as a pilgrim and a sojourner. Why? Because he was looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. But that city had foundations. You know, our foundation is on the Word of God. And one thing about this city, amen, the devil can't come in and ramshack it. He can't come in, amen, and tear it down. We're not like the Jerusalem that Nehemiah got the report about. Our walls were torn down and our gates were burned with fire. No, 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 no. God has walls of angels around us. God protects what belongs to him. God protects what he owns. So Jacob, as he went on his way, he began to see the manifestation of all that was around him. Now, let me just tell you something about Jacob that I shared with the early class. Jacob, go back to what verse? It was chapter 31 of Genesis. What verse did we talk about? Was it 38? 28, somewhere in there. It was 38. I wanted to point something out. Just make a point about this here. All right. Yeah. He says, look what Jacob says. Jacob, he was sent to Laban's house by his father and by his mother, because Jacob's mother was Laban's brother, sister, I mean. Okay, Laban was the sister of Rebekah. And because there was an issue going on in the home, that Esau wanted to kill Jacob because he felt Jacob stole his birthright, they thought to send Jacob off. Jacob, on his journey, he comes to a place that night is falling. And I'm not going to travel at night, so I'm going to lay down and sleep. And he lays his head on a stone. And over in the night, he has a dream, and he sees a ladder that's stretching from heaven to earth, and he sees the Lord at the top of it, and angels are descending and ascending. And Jacob wakes up and he says, this is the house of God. Now notice, Jacob is in the wilderness. He's in the desert. He's on his way, you know, to Laban's house. And he says, this is the house of God. There ain't no walls. There ain't no stained glass windows. There ain't no padded pews. You know, there ain't no organs and no saxophones and no trumpets and the cornets. There ain't none of that. He said, but this is the house of God. What was Jacob saying? This environment that I'm in is God's house. So Jacob took some oil and poured it on the rock, and he named that place Bethel, which means what? House of God. So when we talk about church, church is an environment. Jesus said, wherever two or three are gathered together, I'm in the midst of them. Wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm in the midst of them. You know, we come together and we create an environment that's conducive for the success, or that God comes in and he blesses us and he joins us. So Jacob's on his way. He gets to Laban's house, and Laban tells Jacob, he says, what you going to do? Laban says, well, I guess I'm going to work. Laban says, well, once you work for me, and tell me what you want to work for me for. Now, when Jacob was down there, he saw a beautiful young lady by the name of Rachel. And he says, I'll work 7 years for her. Won't y'all follow me here? Jacob says, I'll work 7 years for her. Now just think, you ain't got to reveal what you make a year, but just think about what you make a year. Some of y'all sitting on the sound of my voice, some of you make, you know, $50,000 a year. Some of you make $70,000 a year. Some $100,000 a year. Some $200,000 a year. Some $300,000 a year. You know, Jacob said, I'll work 7 years for her. Now, we rounded it off this morning and said $100,000. So Jacob says, you know, working 7 years for her is like giving you $700,000. All the young men say, yes, Lord. I can't hear you. say it again. All the young men say, yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Yeah, that was weak. Yeah, Tina said that's kind of weak. All the young men say, yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
That's still kind of weak, isn't it? Now, this is no slight on our young men, but, you know, somebody said, I ain't working for nobody. You see, that's the mindset. That's the mindset. And you got to watch that mindset. But Jacob said, I worked 7 years for her. See, in those days, you had to give the father a dowry. All right. So just say if Jacob, you know, getting the income of $100,000, what kind of dowry did he give Laban for Rachel? Huh? $700,000. Now, if you think something happened between Jacob and Rachel, you know, you think Rachel can live off that $700,000? She can make it. I bet she can make it. Now, the thing is, that's how they tied men in. See, I work for my wife. I work 7 months. I did like Jacob. She can tell you, you know, they didn't give me no money, but he gave me his daughter. All right, Radio Land, we thank you for tuning into this radio broadcast, and we trust that your soul has been blessed by the word of the Lord. You know, Jacob in Genesis 27, verse 27, was blessing his son, and he said that, may the smell of my son be as the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. And we hope today that through the word of the Lord, that you are going to be as a smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. That means that you're flowering. That means that you're producing. That means that you're going forth. That means that you're influencing and affecting your environment. I also want you to write in, you know, to us at Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries. Our address is 1978 Washington Street, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, or at 800 South Beach Street in Picayune, Mississippi. We also want to give you opportunity to purchase the rest of this sermon, you know, on CD or DVD. You know, you can make your vehicle a driving or a rolling university, you know, by popping in that CD and finishing up the messages of the Lord. Because again, the word of the Lord says that you're not going to live by bread alone, but you're going to live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord. So you can order these CDs, you can order these DVDs, so you can always have a spoken word. You can always have a rhema word ready. Because, you know, I'm recalling a story in the Old Testament that David was running from Saul and he ran to the house of God. And in running to the house of God, he asked the priest, he said, "What's that under your arm?" And the priest said, "This is bread. It's holy bread." David said, "I have some of that." Then the next thing David asked, "Do you have any weapons here?" And the priest tells him, "Nothing but the sword of Goliath, who you killed in the valley of Elah." Well, David said, "I would have that sword also." So that tells us the reason we, amen, receive a rhema word and go to the house of the Lord is get bread to eat and a weapon to fight with. So God bless you today, and we trust that you've got bread to eat and a weapon to fight with. Hello, Radio Land. This is Bishop J.J. Reed coming to you live from the Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries in Bay St. Louis and Picayune, Mississippi. One church in two locations. And we're so glad that you've tuned in today to hear the word of the Lord. You know, as Jesus was attacked by the devil in St. Matthew chapter number 4, he made the statement, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord." That tells us that we don't live by our natural food by itself, but we live by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord. In Jeremiah chapter number 3, God also speaks and says, "I'm going to take one out of a city and two out of a family, and I'm going to lead them to Zion," that is the church, "and I'm going to give them pastors according to my own heart that's going to feed them with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding." So today, I'm so glad again that you've tuned in, and we're going to take you into the word of the Lord, and we're going to feed you as the heritage of the Lord, that you might grow up, grow out, and that your branches might extend over the walls. Now, here's the thing. If you work for something, you usually appreciate what you work for. Come on, you usually take care of what you work for. I've heard it said that, you know, "I done worked for this here. I done put my back into this here. I bought this with my hard-earned money." Yeah. And the thing is, you usually take care of what you work for. See, we learn a principle right out of the Bible. See, God feeds us. Everybody say, "Thank you, Lord, for the bread."
Thank you, Lord.
See, some of y'all got some revelation about the bread now. You know, some of you got fresh bread today. Y'all going to go tell, you know, the man that's trying to court you and date you, you got to work for me.
Come on now.
Let me tell you something. I work for that. Let me say it again. I worked for that. Watch. Let Jacob tell the story. Come on. It says, so he said, "These 20 years have I been with thee, thy ewes and thy she-goats have not cast their young, the rams, thy flock, have I not eaten." Verse 39 says, "That which was torn of beasts I brought not unto thee, I bear the loss of it, of my hand didst thou require it, whether stolen by day or stolen by night." Verse 40, he says, "Thus I was in the day, the drought consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sleep departed from my eye." Yeah. Look at verse 41. "Thus I have been 20 years in thy house." Watch, y'all. He says, "I served thee 14 years for thy two daughters." See, Laban did a switcheroo on Jacob. Jacob, the Bible says Jacob worked those 7 years for Rachel. And hear what it says. Listen carefully what it says. "And it seemed like a few days." Everybody say his nose was open, wide open, they say. You know, it said 7 years seemed like a few days. That's what the Bible said. It says that he worked those 7 years and it seemed like a few days. And so they had the big, you know, wedding ceremony. And, you know, in those days, they didn't have light switches like we got, you know. And you couldn't go get out the bed and turn the light on and see who was in the bed with you. So then also in those days, those women wore those wraps around their face. So, you know, because Laban had two daughters and one was like cross-eyed. She was tender-eyed. And Laban slipped that cross-eyed, tender-eyed girl in there on Jacob. And Jacob had to wait till daybreak because, you know, it wasn't sounding right or going right all night long. You know, the voice just didn't sound right, you know. And I really can't put this thing together until in the morning. And so he got up in the morning and he looked and said, "Oh, no, that's that tender-eyed girl. Laban, you gave me the wrong one." Laban said, "Dude, you know, now the thing is, see, when you're a trickster, now you got to, there's always a better trickster than you." So Laban says, well, you know, it's not our custom, you know, to give the younger before the older. So I had to give you the older, you know. And he says, but work another 7 years and I give you Rachel. And Jacob worked another 7 years. That's what the Bible says here. It says, he says, I served thee 14 years for thy two daughters. Now just think, all right, let's use that $100,000 a year again, you know, and now you're going to work 14 years and you're not even going to get paid. You're paying for your wives. So you ain't putting no money in your pocket. All that going to Laban for your wife. How much are you paying for your wives? $1.4 million. Young men say, yes, Lord. That was weak too. the women sitting out there doing this here, Lord, help us. So Jacob had put in 14 years for the two wives, but he served 20 years. Look here. It says, he says, and I serve you 6 years for your cattle. Everybody say, I work for that. See, you draw that principle, you draw that, and that's a whole nother subject. I work for that. Nobody gave that to me. Amen. Nobody sent that in the mail to me. What I got, I work for that. You know, if we ever got that mentality in our generation, that what we're going to get, I work for it, you know, man, we'll get a whole lot. My dad told me this here. My bishop told me you can have anything in life you want if you work for it. Somebody shout, I work for that. And that's what Jacob said. That's what Jacob told Laban. I worked 20 years, 14 for my wives, 6 for the cattle. So they made a covenant there, and Jacob is on his way back to chapter 32. He's on his way. And now he finds out that the angels of the Lord is encamping around about him. And let's go to verse 3. Verse 3 of chapter 32 says this here. It says, and Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, unto the land of Seir, the country of Edom. Now, here's the problem. Because last time Jacob saw Esau 20 years ago, Esau said, next time I see you, boy, I'm going to kill you. I don't want to do it right now, but you took my birthright and you stole my blessing. Next time I see you, I'm going to kill you. Now, they weren't fortunate to have text messages and emails and telephones, you know, where Jacob can call back home and say, hi, is Esau? You know, is it safe to come home yet? You know, no, he's just going back home. All right. And so he sent messengers out and he instructed them, tell my master Esau. Here's a lesson that we learned, you know, from Jacob. When we say a city with a limp, God has a process in giving you a limp. God has a process of putting a limp in your life. All right. I ain't got a whole lot of time to talk about this here. If I was to ask Charles to get off that camera and start walking without the crutches, you know, I can guarantee you he'll walk with a limp. And y'all look at the way he walk and you say, that's not normal. That's good. I want you to keep that in mind because God don't want us to have a normal walk. God don't want us to have a normal walk. God want to put a limp in our walk. And everything that's happening in Jacob's life right now is so God can put that limp in his life. Now, God has got a way of causing a limp to happen in our life. Now, that limp is not a bad thing. I want you to know that. That limp, you know, most people walk with a limp because, you know, something hurting. Man, my bunion hurting or my corn hurting, my toe hurting, something hurting down there. I got that foot thing where the muscles are, what you call that? Yeah, that word. You know, and I'm walking. Something, when you see somebody limping, you say, something hurting them. But you know what? Many times when you look at Jacob here, when Jacob is going to walk away with a limp, ain't nothing hurting. It's just that God then changed his walk. Now, what God want to do in our life, watch the progress. Let me just pull out a couple more progression stations here. So we find out the angels of the Lord encamped about him. He sends to tell his brother that he's on his way. What verse are we on? Verse 4? All right, look at verse 4 here. It says, it makes this sense. So he instructed them, tell my master Esau. Jacob takes the low road. Jacob humbles himself. The word of the Lord over Jacob's life to Isaac was that the younger is going to do what? Rule over the older. That was the word. You know, because the wife was having complications with her pregnancy. Isaac went to pray, and the Lord said, there's two nations in your wife's womb, you know, and they're wrestling, they're struggling with each other. But he says, the younger is going to rule over the elder. As a matter of fact, in another passage, he says, Esau have I hated, Jacob have I loved. And then in Romans 10 chapter, he says, you know, how y'all trying to nail me down? God is saying this here. How y'all trying to nail me down to say, well, they haven't even come out the womb. How you going to love one and hate the other? You don't even know what they're going to do. God says, according to my foreknowledge, you know, I already know what they're going to do. You know, I know Esau is going to do some things that I don't appreciate and don't love, but Jacob, I'm going to love him. Isn't that something that Jacob, and all that he did, and his deceitfulness, and his stealing the birthright, and his putting on Esau's clothes, God says, I love him. I love him. Why do God love him? Because God knew what he was going to become. God knew he was going to put a limp in his life, and he was going to be a city with a limp. And being that city with a limp, he was going to represent God the rest of his life. He was going to stand before Pharaoh, you know, and Pharaoh was going to call him father. You know, he was going to, amen, raise up 12 boys, you know, who were going to be the sons of Israel and make Israel what they was. God knew what Jacob was going to do. Jacob was going to be like his father Abraham. He was going to command his family after him. Amen. God knew what Jacob was going to be, but Jacob had to get the limp first. I got to put a limp in his life. He going to be a city with a limp. He going to be set on a hill that cannot be hid. But he's going to walk with a limp. But it's a limp that I put in his life. So notice this first principle that we learned about Jacob. We learned some that he worked for what he got. Then we learned that the angels encamped about him. Then we learned he took the low road. He know what he was supposed to rule over Esau, but when he addressed Esau, tell Esau, my Lord. He sent the message, y'all switch Bibles on me. Y'all switch Bibles on me. There you go. He said, he commanded them and said, thus speak unto my Lord Esau. And then he said, he take the servant route. Thy servant Jacob said, thus I have sojourned with Laban and stayed there until now. Verse 5 says, and I have oxen, I got asses, I got flocks, I got men servants, I got women servants, and I have sent to tell my Lord that I might find grace in your sight. See, in being gone these 20 years, God has blessed me. God has blessed me. See, I wasn't just sitting down. I wasn't just doing nothing. No, but God has blessed me these 20 years. Now look at the next verse, verse 6. It says, and the messengers returned to Jacob saying, we came to thy brother Esau. All right, Radio Land, we thank you for tuning into this radio broadcast, and we trust that your soul has been blessed by the word of the Lord. Jacob in Genesis 27, verse 27, was blessing his son, and he said that, may the smell of my son be as the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. And we hope today that through the word of the Lord, that you are going to be as a smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. That means that you're flowering. That means that you're producing. That means that you're going forth. That means that you're influencing and affecting your environment. I also want you to write in, to us at Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries. Our address is 1978 Washington Street, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, or at 800 South Beach Street in Picayune, Mississippi. We also want to give you opportunity to purchase the rest of this sermon, on CD or DVD. know, you can make your vehicle driving or rolling university, you know, by popping in that CD and finishing up the messages of the Lord. Because again, the word of the Lord says that you're not going to live by bread alone, but you're going to live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord. So you can order these CDs, you can order these DVDs, so you can always have a spoken word. You can always have a rhema word ready. Because, you know, I'm recalling a story in the Old Testament that David was running from Saul, and he ran to the house of God. And in running to the house of God, he asked the priest, he said, "What's that under your arm?" And the priest said, "This is bread. It's holy bread." David said, "I have some of that." Then the next thing David asked, "Do you have any weapons here?" And the priest tells him, "Nothing but the sword of Goliath, who you killed in the valley of Elah." Well, David said, "I would have that sword also." So that tells us the reason we, amen, receive a rhema word and go to the house of the Lord is get bread to eat and a weapon to fight with. So God bless you today, and we trust that you've got bread to eat and a weapon to fight with.